Hi, I'm Brian.
And I'm Cade.
And you're listening to
Mysterious Mysteries 21.
We will be discussing the Lawton, Oklahoma murderers today.
Some of the material we will be discussing is very graphic.
Listener discretion is advised, so sit back,
relax,
and enjoy. It almost screwed up. Almost, so close. Alright, so, Lawton, Oklahoma. I want to say this happened I want to say 1999.
Damn. So, fairly recent.
Yeah. Well, not really. It's 2 decades ago.
Fairly recent.
It's the most recent we've talked about, you know, in all of what we've talked about so far. Everything we've talked about in the past was like from the 1970s or when later.
When it was apparently really easy to get away with murder.
Yeah. Alright. So Lawton has a long, sometimes troubled history, as many places in Oklahoma do. It became a site of wars and skirmishes during the territorial days. Confrontations with native peoples that will leave scars that stretch into the present. Today, the city boasts about its connection to arts and humanities, recreational hotspots, and of course the convenient accommodations for those visiting nearby Fort Sill, or to go gamble. Because unlike Texas, in Oklahoma, on every corner there's a casino.
And then most of them are 18.
Yeah. So, of course, as any city grows, it's sure to attract its seedier side of business, too. In the late 90s and early 2000s, crime had become an unfortunate norm. Drugs, prostitution, and murder were plentiful. All the unfortunate hallmarks of a growing metropolis.
So it sounds like Las Vegas.
Yeah. It was the perfect place for the entrepreneurial... I can't say that word. Serial killer to set up shop. It began during the sweltering summer of 1999. Okay, so I was right. Or at least that was the first victim was found floating in the Sandy Bear Creek was the nude body of a 28-year-old Jan Marie Chafton, last seen in Lawton. So Chafton is this one. It's her hand, the way she's positioned.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I thought her jaw was disfigured as well.
Yeah.
When I first saw it. So in the picture, and I'm going to post all these pictures on our website. The way it looks like she has a disfigured jaw, but it's actually her hand on her, like, on her side of her face.
Makes it look like one side of her... Like, she doesn't have a cheekbone on the left side of her face.
So, it seemed to be like a rather ordinary or, if tragic, murder. By the time Jane's body was found in the combination of decomposition the water had done well to hide the potential evidence. Still, there was enough to determine she had been murdered. Nobody had a clue who did it, however. Unfortunately, Jane's profession also did a lot to keep the pool of suspects vast, nearly uncountable. Cash Road was known as the hotbed of criminal activity, including prostitution, or what they would like to be called now is sex workers.
Escort.
Cash Road, I want to say that's where my aunt lives. I think she lives on Cash Road. I know she lives in Cash, Oklahoma. Jan was a sex worker, one of many girls who worked in the area along Cash Road, featuring low-rent motels and liquor stores. It was a prime real estate for those who walk the dark side of life. Many of the girls who worked the area also had drug habits, which kept them on the street even when their lives were on the line. Traces of cocaine were found on Jane's body as well. Months later, in October, another local sex worker went missing. As always, people in the area hope for the best. That 25-year-old Cassandra Lee Ramsey, Splanco Ramsey, she had that 80s hairstyle, had gotten clean, got off the street, maybe moved in with family to get her life straight. A lot of the girls were from decent families, so it wasn't uncommon to see desperate mothers and fathers trying to pray their daughters away from the lifestyle. 5 months later, Cassandra's body was discovered beneath a bridge in Jefferson County. She was nude and badly decomposed. She was murdered as well. And all 5 sex workers were killed by the Lawton serial killer. So there's Jan Marie Chafton, 28, Cassandra Lee Ramsey, 25, Mandy Ann Wright, 21, Janice Marie Buono, 29, and Pamela Dawn Woodring, 34. Additionally, some suspects of local teen Tanya Marie Hook, 17, also fell victim to the serial killer. She lived on Catch Road and disappeared in 2003. Her remains were found in a ditch 5 years later near the town of Cole. Victims were usually found in or near moving water, such as creeks or rivers. Each victim was stripped naked and dumped near or inside the bodies of water. Most had traces of drugs in their bodies, usually cocaine. Investigators eventually drew a link between the victims, concluding that the same person or persons had killed the girls between 1999 and 2003. So, in this report that I'm reading, it only says it was Mandy, Cassandra, Tanya, Jan, and Pamela. There was also Janice, and Janice was one of those as well. There was Anastasia Running Wolf, Tanya Hook, Barbara Berry, Tina Prest. Yeah, so those were the additional ones that were also found that they're, I guess, trying to pin on this person or persons. So all the women were from Lawton. Most had lived there quite some time, some save for Pamela, who had recently moved to the area following a stint in prison. Despite the fact that a lot of people knew who they were, very few were willing to discuss the crimes with police. Those who did ran into credibility flaws, as they were often drug users and criminals themselves. The killings in Lawton seemed to stop in 2003. The case went cold, but detectives still had a suspicion the killer or killers were still out there, that some other community was now being terrorized. There's some theories. So, serial killers are notoriously difficult to track down. This is especially true for those who prey on sex workers. Their victims already play a dangerous game. Often a killer who targets these at-risk populations get away with it for decades, simply because our culture expects those types of people to turn up dead anyway.
Yeah.
Which is true.
Yeah, oh yeah.
I mean, anytime you hear of a sex worker, I'm trying not to say prostitute, because
we just go back to, like, the 1700s, Harlots.
Right. I know a lot of people, a lot of sex workers, they get offended when you call them prostitutes, but I honestly don't think they should have any room to feel like they're being prosecuted or terrorized by a name. Because, I mean, they're selling themselves for sex. And drugs, most of the time. Alright, so when it comes to sex workers and drug addicts, it's pretty dry well. This being said, there are some theories calculating around as to who have killed these women and possibly more. And this is John Robert Williams and Rachel Cumberland. Williams suspect, I-40 killer. Williams is a long-haul trucker who was arrested in 2004 for the murder of a 20-year-old sex worker, Nikki Hill. Cumberland, his girlfriend, was charged as his accomplice. Nikki had been shot in Mississippi. Later, Williams claimed that he had killed upwards to 30 sex workers over a course of 2 decades.
Holy shit. So, basically, United States version of Jack the Ripper.
Yeah.
Except they actually caught this one.
It's the victims of Oklahoma that stand out as potential links to the Lawton killings. In 2003, the body of Jennifer Heyman, a sex worker of OKC, was found a few days after disappearing. The victim had been picked up at an Oklahoma City truck stop, later strangled to death and dropped naked under the bridge in the Tallahatchie River in Mississippi. Williams and Cumberland were charged in this case, but those charges were later dismissed due to lack of evidence. Vicky and Casey, two alleged victims of Williams from Oklahoma. Despite the void of evidence, Williams has been implicated in at least 9 other murders, including some from Oklahoma. Of these Oklahomans, most were sex workers whose bodies were discovered in the state hauntingly familiar to those in Lawton. Okay, so here's some of the people. Samantha Renee Patrick, 20, found partially clothed, strangled behind a grocery store. Casey Jo Pipstein, found naked in a creek near Grapevine, Texas. Vicky,
a bit of a ways,
yeah,
a bit of a distance.
Vicky Helen Anderson, 44, found naked off of I-40 in Gray, Texas.
That's not that bad.
Sandra Richardson, was that one of them that was on this list? I don't think so. No. Okay. What's this? 2 months in the den. Sandra Beard, found naked in a ditch near I-40 in 2003. Because of the proximity of victims on the highway to the highway, Williams became known as the I-40 killer. Some speculate that Williams may have began his spree in Lawton, since the victims share so many similarities looking at the timeline. It would match up with his theory. The killing in Lawton stopped in 2003, which was around the time they popped up in OKC and elsewhere. However, Williams was only charged in a handful of these killings, and those charges he only was convicted of one, the Nikki Hill murder. That's not to say that Ann Cumberland didn't have a hand in more. He certainly bragged about it, but the evidence is sadly not there to justify more charges. Alright, and this is FBI Vice interview. If there's such a thing as an ideal profession for a serial killer, it may well be as a long-haul truck driver.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because, I mean, they travel all over the place. You can dump bodies wherever, and they couldn't link it to, one single person. Exactly. They think it was someone in that area. So the Lawton killings could be completely unrelated to the Williams case. There's a chance that they were committed by a local, as the killer seemed familiar enough with the area to know where to dump these bodies long enough to escape detection. There's also a possibility another killer trucker may have had a route through the area for a few years, then either got a different route to stop driving altogether.
Remember, don't take random rides from people in 18-wheelers.
Yeah, stay away from truck drivers. I mean, not all of them are bad, but you get those desperate ones that, haven't got any in how long, and...
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes it gets out of hand. So the idea of another long-haul serial killer isn't that far-fetched. There are numerous stories of this happening, truckers giving potential killers the mobility to get away easier. It also gives them an easy access to victims, as many sex workers work truck stops regularly. In this case, the chance of solving the Lawton serial murders becomes even more remote.
Yeah, you can go up to, Flying J and go up there at 3 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. You just pick them out.
Yeah. So life went on for the city. On Cash Road, crime continued to flourish, drugs were still sold, and the girls still walked the strip. The threat still loomed, talked about the gruesome details of the shadows. People were scared, but they did little to stop women from selling their bodies to regular customers and strangers alike. They had bills to pay, mouth to feed, and bad habits to support. Today, Lawton still sees its fair share of the dark side, but for now, at least, it seems neighborhood serial killer has moved on to fresher waters. That's the first part.
That is Oklahoma. It's either... With Oklahoma, everything I've noticed that comes out of the news, it's either really good or really bad.
Yeah, there's no in-between.
At least it's not like Florida, where the options are
everywhere.
Or no, the options in Florida is retirement or send it.
Yeah. Alright, so this was posted on May 19th, 2020 by a girl named Tiffany, poor guy, you never know, about the creek bed murders of Cache Road, the Lawton in Oklahoma serial killer. Now, this could be a far-fetch from what we just went over, but we're going to go over it anyways. So, it's going to do
part
a little...
one part.
Yeah, pretty much. It's going to be like a little recap, too, because we're going to talk about the same stuff, but it's going to go, I think I'm going to go into more detail. So more than 20 years ago, the small military town of Lawton, Oklahoma, faced an evil that preyed upon some of their most vulnerable citizens. Beginning in the summer of 1999, six women, alleged sex workers who were suffering from substance abuse problems, disappeared from Lawton. Their new bodies would be later found near creek beds and the surrounding rural areas. No one has ever been held accountable for these murders. The victims. So, and this is all coming from the person who wrote it, Tiffany. Okay, before we get into the gritty details, I want to talk a little bit about the victims were as people, using details I was able to find in newspapers and in court records. It was to paint a little picture of the lives these women lived, because I don't want their whole existence to be reduced down to a substance abuse sex worker slain by the unknown serial killer. They were people, and I believe their memory shouldn't be defined by the final moments and the hardest times, which I agree.
Yeah.
Alright, so Jan Marie Chafton, that was the weird chin girl. Jan Crafton was born on December 20th, 1971, in Maricopa County, Arizona. She was one of nine children, with her childhood being spent between Texas and Mississippi. According to an interview given by her youngest sister to the Lawton Constitution, Jan and her siblings grew up with parents who were suffering from alcoholism. She credits Jane with taking care of her as a child. Despite the turmoil of alcoholic parents, Jane seemed pretty determined to take her life in a more stable direction. She earned an accounting degree from a Job Corps while in San Marcos, and worked as an accountant. She started her own family as well. Heartbreakingly, she was tempted by a so-called friend and fell into a drug addiction and may have worked as a sex worker. She lost years of her life to cocaine. Her sister shared one of her journal entries from 1996 with the Lawton Constitution. It's incredibly painful to read how much addiction hurt her and her family, and she end is hopeful. She hit rock bottom, she got treatment, and she was a woman trying her damnedest to put her life back together. She had held a job at a salon called Susie's for 3 years. She had a fiancé, and she was taking care of her child. Jane was only 28 years old at the time of her death. Cassandra Lee Ramsey. That is...
Yeah.
80s poof.
You know, the higher the hair, the closer to God.
Yeah. So, unfortunately, I wasn't able to find much about Cassandra's life. She was born in Arkansas of April 7th, 1974. I'm not sure how she came to live in Oklahoma, but it was reported by the police that while here, she had fallen into drug addiction and worked in sex work. From court records, I found that she had a few other charges and was a witness to a marriage of a friend. And at the time of her death, she had been staying with a friend around the Cache Road area. She was 25. Mandy A. Wright. Mandy came from a military family with both her grandparents serving in the Army, or Navy, excuse me. The family was eventually stationed in Lawton, Oklahoma, where Mandy was born on September 17th of 1978. She was a mother to one child and had given another up for adoption. Mandy dreamed of becoming an artist and drew characters from her childhood while undergoing drug rehabilitation treatment. She had fallen into the rough crowd and suffered from drug addiction. Despite struggling, she tried to get clean multiple times by checking herself into rehab facilities. Unfortunately, because of the circumstances of her life and her friends never changed, she resumed the old pattern in her life. After each stint in treatment, she was clearly a woman who wanted to get clean and get her life back together, but she was staying at a Sheridan Inn and was planning to move to Texas with her boyfriend. who was a Marine at the time. She was 21 years old when she passed. Janet Marie Buno. Okay, the Hispanic one. Janice was born December 21st, 72. She was originally from Anadarko, Oklahoma, and she was a member of the Comanche tribe. Okay, so not Hispanic, she was Indian. She had been married to a man with whom she had two children. Tragically, both children passed away as infants. After their deaths, Janice moved to Lawton, where she allegedly began working as a sex worker and using drugs. During this time, she gave birth to two more children, both whom lived to adulthood. She was the only girl of five children, making her her mother's only daughter. Like Jan's sister, Janice's mother was very vocal in wanting her daughter's murderer to be properly investigated. Miss Buno tried until the last day to make sure that no one forgot about her daughter's murder. Unfortunately, she passed away without knowing what happened. Janice was 29 years old at the time of her death. Pamela Dawn Woodring. That's this girl. Pamela was a Valentine's Day baby, being born February 14th of 1969 in Boise City, Oklahoma. She was married a few different times and had three children. She seemed to be a wild child who lived a rough lifestyle and had a fairly long list of court appearances under her belt before she had made it to Cash Road. In one incident, she allegedly helped two men rob a third at knife point. Damn. Pamela was also the only woman for who I actually found a charge for engaging in prostitution on her record. She moved down to Lawton after being released from jail in Gaiman, Oklahoma, and she was 34 years old. Tanya Marie Hook is that one. Tanya Hook. Tanya's case is a little different from the rest of the other women. Born in Germany in 86, Tanya came from a tent Lawton after her mother married an American soldier who ended up being stationed in Lawton, Oklahoma.
So that's one thing. A lot of them are from military friend families, small military town.
I wonder if they ever tried to, like, maybe pinpoint someone who was in the military doing this.
Yeah. It wouldn't even be that hard either. But if you also, if you notice, every outside of every military base is, like, just a not in a good area.
No, it's like being next to a freeway.
Yeah.
You always get the ghetto areas in that area. Or airports.
Yep. Both if you're unlucky.
Yeah. She made a principal's honor roll for sophomore and junior year at Lawton High School, and by accounts from her neighbors, she was a bright, sweet girl who was kind to those she interacted with. Despite this, Tanya's life wasn't entirely smooth. There was also neighbors who say she was troubled and ran away multiple times. At some point during her senior year of high school, Tanya moved out of the parents' house and then with a boyfriend near Cash Road. There's no evidence of Tanya having been addicted to drugs or working as a prostitute, although the boyfriend she lived with told the police that the last time he saw her, she was getting into the black truck driven by an older white man. Her parents moved to Georgia after she went missing, and unfortunately, because of it, taking 5 years for her body to be identified, her mother died without knowing that she had been killed. Tanya was 17. So the youngest. August 10th, 1999. Jan, who did not have a driver's license or car, calls a cab company to schedule a ride to Duncan, Oklahoma. She later calls the company back to cancel the cab, telling them she had found another ride. August 13th. Jan's body was found by a work crew in Sandy Bear Creek, 6 miles northeast of Velma, Oklahoma. No cause of death was determined because her body was too advanced in the stage of decomposition. August 22nd. Jan is reported missing. Her body wasn't immediately identified because of the decomposition. She was later identified through her tattoos. October 10th. Cassandra is last seen with a white but tan male, 30 to 40 years old, with light hair, roughly 5'10 and 160 pounds. He picks her up from a friend's house in a white Chevy or GMC van with gray stripes. Cassandra tells the friend that they are going to Texarkana. This is the last time she is seen alive. March 20th. Holy shit. It took him a long time to... From October 10th, 99 to March 20th, 2000 is when they finally reported her missing.
Holy shit.
March 22nd. Cassandra's body is found by the rancher 1 mile east of the Jefferson County, Cotton County line off Highway 70 under a bridge. I've looked at this area and I believe it to be the bridge over Saline Creek, but that's just my opinion. Her remains were skeletal and no cause of death was determined. She was found with a pair of clear stone earrings. April 2000, Cassandra's body was identified. June 9th, this is the last time Mandy sees her mother. June 11th, Mandy speaks to her grandfather over the phone. June 11th through the 21st. Mandy's boyfriend was in jail for being absent from the Marine Corps without leave. Note, is
AWOL.
Yeah. Is jail the right term for that? I guess this was Tiffany putting a note in. Is jail the right term for that?
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. He went AWOL. So, I mean, yeah, they had every right to put him in jail for that.
I mean, it's basically in terms of, oh, be here for, you know, a meeting this Thursday and you just don't show up.
Yep.
And don't tell anybody and don't call
you. And you sign a contract whenever you join Army, Navy, any of that. I mean, you pretty much, you put your line on the line, and your job is to show up.
Yep.
If you don't show up, you will be put in jail. And possibly prison.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's either go to work or go to jail. Which one do you want?
Yep.
It's just like, oh, I guess I'll go to work.
Yeah. June 14th. A family friend claims to have seen Mandy alive. June 17th. Mandy is reported missing. June 17th. Mandy's body is found at 3:45 a.m. by Comanche County Sheriff's Deputy 8 feet from the road to the creek bed of Beaver Creek near East Cache Road between Bethel Road and Highway 65. East Cache Road is a gravel road. Her body was not in a terrible state of decomposition, so an autopsy was able to be performed. Her death was listed as probably cocaine intoxication and is ruled an accidental death. 1999 to 2000. During this time, Jan's sister had been doing her own investigation into Jan's death. She discovers that Jan knew Cassandra and Mandy, but both have already been murdered by the time she tries to track them down and talk to them. Sorry if there's more noise in the background. It started raining and we have a thunderstorm overhead right now. So if y'all hear that, it just goes into the story.
Yeah, it just adds a little bit of character.
Yeah.
Ambiance.
Yeah. Exactly. That's June 1st, 2002. This is the last time police knew that Janice was seen alive. It was said that she had bounced from house to house. She was not reported missing. February 23rd of 2002. Janice's body was found 1 mile east of Highway 65 on Townley Road, which is a gravel road and a water of a pond outlet. She was determined to have been dead for 3 to 4 weeks, and her cause of death was listed as cocaine or meth toxicity.
I think that's one of the bad things, especially, you know, if you go in and they find, you know, if they find a body and they're like, oh, cocaine and everything, it's more generally kind of probably what they're going to go with, unless there's
especially clear, when it comes to sex workers, because there's, like most people, oh, sex worker died, oh well.
Exactly.
So they probably just made a cocaine or meth overdose just to ease up the paperwork and send them to the morgue and get them put in the ground or cremated.
And basically going through there, oh, didn't get stabbed, didn't get shot, had cocaine in system.
No strangulation. She was found 3 miles north of Mandy's body. That was also near the home of the Oklahoma Bureau of Investigation Inspector. 2002. Sometime after Janice's death, it is when police connected all the deaths together and started suspecting they are victims of the same killer. June 5th, 2003. Pamela's body is found by a farm workers in the creek bed 2 miles north of the intersection of Highway 54 and 59 near Cooperton in Kiowa County. I've looked at this area as well, and I believe she may have been left down a gravel road as well. This is once again just my suspicion, though Cooperton is officially a ghost town, having only 20 residents at the 2000 census. Holy cow.
Pamela, Ryder making a lot of really weirdly accurate assumptions here.
Yeah. Pamela was considered homeless at the time of her death. July 30th, 2003, Tanya is reported missing by her mother. Her friend and her boyfriend reported last seeing her getting into a black truck driven by an older white male. August 29th, 03.
Has no one connected this black truck?
Yeah. Tanya's body is found by a jogger in a ditch in McLean County near Cole, Oklahoma. She was found about a half mile north of Highway 74B along May Avenue and about 150 feet from the bridge crossing Walnut Creek. Her remains were skeletal and her cause of death was undetermined. She was not identified for another 5 years. Holy shit.
Good God.
Alright, so January 2008. Tanya's parents submitted DNA for testing against DNA profiles of Jane Doe's. The police do have Tanya's dental records before this, though. They used those records to rule out a Jane Doe from Texas as being Tanya, but never compared them to the McLean County Jane Doe. July 2008, Tanya is identified. Unfortunately, Tanya's mother passes away before her daughter's identification and never knows her daughter was found. Suspects. While Lawton investigators have never identified a sole person of interest, there have been a few possible leads or suspects. These have all been ruled out at this point, however. Corey Dion Morris. Corey Dion Morris was arrested in 2003 and sentenced to death in 2005 for the murders of 5 women in Phoenix, Arizona. Morrison moved to Arizona a couple years prior and lived in a camper in his uncle's backyard while working as a DJ at a nearby bar. He was well loved by coworkers, and the only complaint being that he was always smelled terrible. Like death, maybe. Huggy Bear, as his friends called him, was caught when his uncle noticed a foul smell coming from the camper and called the police. They found a decomposing body of one of the victims in a sleeping bag in the camper.
Jesus. If someone smells like death, you would, kind of assume, let's go check on him.
We'll check on the situation, at least.
Yeah.
So he was looked at in conjunction with the Lawton victims because of the few similarities in the cases. For example, the women Morris murdered were all supposedly sex workers. 4 of the women had lethal doses of cocaine in their system when they died. They had been dumped in the surrounding neighborhoods. Additionally, Morris did live in Oklahoma City with his mother at the time that Jane, Cassandra, Mandy, and Janice were murdered. He was ultimately ruled out as a suspect after Pamela and Tanya were murdered. I'd like to take a moment and point out that Morris was charming, dubbed as the crackhead killer. I mean, fuck's sake, the names of Morris victims are. Janice Irving, Barbara Codman, Shantaria Davis, Jade Velasquez, and Sherry Noah were the victims of the murder of Morris. Hopefully they will be able to find the peace in the afterlife that their manner of death didn't provide them. James Smith was a New Mexico dentist who was convicted in December of 2005 murder of Laura McNaughton. 30-year-old Laura was a single mother who was a waitress while attending college. She was sexually assaulted, beaten, and strangled. Her body was dumped in the ditch in Curry County. Lawton investigators looked into Smith just to cover their bases at that point. They were looking under every stone and following every lead. The fact that Laura was left in the ditch and Smith had attended Oklahoma University for a time was a basis for checking him out as a suspect. He was ruled out. I-40 killer.
Ow.
Jeez, there's a lot of serial killers at this time. Alright, so, Lawton wasn't the only place struggled with predators during this time. The telling was the disappearance and murder of Tanya Hook, a string of women started going missing from truck stops and being dumped off the portion of I-40 that runs through Oklahoma, Mississippi, Arkansas, and Texas. Seven women were victims of this set murders. Margaret Gardner, 74, found near West Memphis, Arkansas. Jennifer Heyman, 24, found near Oxford, Mississippi. Sandra Beard, 43, found in McColtontosh County, Oklahoma. Vicki Anderson, found in Texas. Sandra Richardson, found in Okfuskee County, Oklahoma. Patsy Lenard, found in Pottawatomi, Oklahoma.
You having fun with those city names there?
Well, these are county names. These are worse, especially in Oklahoma. Casey Joe Pipestem is found in Grapevine, Texas. That was it.
They're just giving you all the big-ass words today.
This is all these Indian names and words that I've never seen.
You just kind of look at it and be like, Hooked on Phonics didn't prepare me for this.
No, it did not. Actually, Hooked on Phonics wasn't even a thing when I was in school. That kind of tells you my age. There were enough similarities that Lawton investigators met with the Oklahoma State Bureau of Investigations to compare cases, but ultimately the OSBI didn't believe was a strong enough connection. This is just a super basic overview of the case because this post is already getting kind of lengthy, but I do plan on going more into depth on the I-40 killing in the future post. And this is, again, coming from the Tiffany girl, or guy, who posted this. So, wild speculations.
Girl, guy, attack helicopter, whatever you identify as.
And a couple of questions I was piecing together and information on this. And I'd like to share with you all some of my thoughts on what may have gone on here. As you can probably gather from the title of this section, everything that comes after the sentence is her own opinion, speculations, or theory, and is in no way to be taken seriously as fact. That we're about to do here is what my grandfather used to call a SWAG, scientific wild ass guess. Swag. Local man, and this is Tiffany's hypothesis.
I think it's hilarious.
Scientific wild ass guess?
Yes.
I like that. Find it interesting that the bodies were left off the state highway in three cases, possibly left off of gravel roads. This to me is an evidence that the killer is a local to Lawton or one of the surrounding areas. I've spent quite a lot of my life in part of Oklahoma, and the state highways in this area don't really see a lot of traffic that isn't farm-related or local people moving from one town to another. Did you notice that quite a few of the women were discovered by farm workers or ranchers? There are semi-trucks that use the state highways, but mostly to get from one small town to another before hopping back on the interstate. Gravel roads are extremely interesting to me as well. These roads are fairly rural and don't really lead anywhere, but they're still right off the state highways. It's almost as if he was trying to hide the bodies, but not really like trying to hide them. Like he went to the trouble of finding an out of the way place to hide them, but couldn't be bothered to drive too far down the road to get too far out of his car, dumping them right off of the bridges, to be fair. This was before the mass use of GPS by regular people, which is another good point. The women were all found within an hour of Lawton on highways. I guess mostly local traffic, and in these three cases, they were found on gravel roads that don't particularly lead anywhere in the time and period where GPS really wasn't a thing yet. In my opinion, I have found those areas you would have had to have known where they were. Where did all the time go?
Or just some random, because I know GPS, whenever I started getting able to drive, you know, was still already a thing and used it. But I would just go driving randomly.
Yeah.
Why not?
Well, I mean, what she's saying is she thinks it was a local because back then you didn't have GPS. Yeah. So a local would have to know these areas to actually, you know where to go to dump them and to get back on the interstate as quickly as possible. So another thing that struck her as odd was that there was two gaping time lapses between victims. Most of the victims happened within months of each other. However, between Mandy going missing and Janice going missing, there was a year and a half time gap. All right, so a lot of serial killers actually do that. It's called a cool-down time frame. Sometimes it's 2-3 months, depending on how sporadically they're killing people.
Sometimes it's 2-3 years.
Sometimes it could be a decade before they start back up. So, I mean, that does happen quite a bit. And again, between Janice going missing and Pamela being found, Pamela was never reported missing. I believe no one realized she was gone until her body was found. There was another year and a half gap. What is he doing during those years? He's probably in a different area if he's a truck driver.
Or working a 9-to-5 job.
Yeah. Or just going through that cool-down moment. Well, I got to thinking, and maybe there were some victims that were never connected to the original six. So, out of the curiosity, I took a look at the missing person report and Jane Doe's found in the time period, and I came up with two possibilities. One is Rebecca Jean Boyd. Okay, that's a possibility. Rebecca was last seen when she was leaving a gas station in Lawton on foot on July 26, 2002. She was 29, 47 now. Or when this was published.
The boyfriend reported her getting into a black truck with an older white male.
Was that this one?
No.
I'm
being sarcastic.
Gotcha. Alright, she had reddish blonde shoulder length hair at the time, green eyes, and between 120 to 150 pounds. She has a series of tattoos, a peacock on her left arm, and a rose with the name Mike on her left ankle. A bracelet made of flowers on her left wrist, and a skull on her left shoulder. Those are just obvious, all the details I was able to find. So obviously, I can't say whether she was making her money as a sex worker, as a substance abuse problem, which would have led her down the same path as the others. But I did find her date of disappearance, age, and location interesting. Kiowa Jane. Another possible victim is a Jane Doe known as Kiowa Jane. This one might be a long shot, but I think it's worth considering. Anyways, on July 13, 2005, a partial skull was found by a farmer near Roosevelt, Oklahoma. Roosevelt is in Kiowa County. Are you sensing a repeating theme here? Found by farmers in Kiowa County? Yes, exactly. This is what happened to Pamela. Another one of the victims... In fact, the skull was found about 6 miles south and then a half mile east of Highway 54, roughly a quarter of a mile from Pamela's body, was found in June of 2003. Jane's age was estimated to be from 17 to 30. Here's where things get a little iffy. Her estimate date of death is somewhere between 85 and 2002. That's a big disappearance or discrepancy and leaves a lot of room for doubt. Once again, I can't say whether Jane's life was anything like the lives of the six Lawton women or how she met her end, but I thought it was intriguing enough to include here. So, final thoughts. So, that's all that she has on this for the case. This is really breaks her heart. So many lives cut tragically short by violence. Not just the six women from Lawton, but seven found along I-40. The five from Arizona, Laura from New Mexico, and our two possible victims. If you have your own theories or see something I missed, please feel free to leave a comment below. Let's talk about it. Be safe out there, you guys. Don't let each other go missing. Also, if you have any information about Jane, Cassandra, Mandy, Janice, Pamela, or Tanya, please contact the OSBI at 1-800-522-8017 or email them at tips@osbi.ok.gov. That is tips at O as in Oscar, S as Sierra, B as in Boxtrot, I as in igloo.ok.gov. If you know where Rebecca Jean Boyd is, please contact the Comanche County Sheriff's Office at 580-353-4280. And finally, if you know anything at all that might help identify the Kiowa, Jane, please contact the Oklahoma office of the Chief Medical Examiner, Eastern Division. I don't think I'll ask one, Teddy. Well, I mean, it's a possibility, only because it was found so close to the other one.
Yeah.
So, there's a possibility there. Alright, we're at 45 minutes. So,
yeah,
that was a good episode.
Yeah.
Interesting. He was never found, or they, the killers, were never found. So, they could still, honestly, be out there still. So. Alright. So, like everybody knows, we are on Pocket Cast, Radio Public, Google Podcast, Breaker, Spotify, Anchor, Apple Podcast, and CastBox.
We are also on Facebook and Instagram at Mysterious Mysteries 21. Come give us a like, follow, share, comment, yell at us to keep fucking up the intro in big words.
Yeah. I'm good at fucking up those big words. He's good at fucking up the intro, so...
I can't read words off paper for some reason. It's okay.
This is what, the third one in a row you've done good? I don't remember. There's been a lot we've done. This is episode 13, isn't it?
Pretty sure my phone's dead.
Oh, okay.
I think it's episode
So this 13 is episode 13. I was trying to actually try to do the 13th episode on Friday the 13th.
Oh. But
we kind of got a little busy and... stuff was happening, and I got a tattoo. Kay got a tattoo for Friday the 13th. He got the mystery box from Mario. And I got Gurr from Invader Zim. So, also a shout out to the most annoying person I think I've ever known in my life. And a shout out for Carrie Trowbridge. Thank you for listening, and keep listening, you little bitch. thank y'all for all the listens that y'all got, that we've gotten, and thank you all for all of the views that we got on our, Baby Farmer episode 1. I think Facebook, we had 475 views just on the post.
Oh, yeah.
So, and that was in Canada, Australia, Germany, the U.S.,
If it wasn't the U.S., I'd be like, wait, what?
Yeah. But thank y'all all for looking and the views. So share us. We are going to start doing the premium bonus episode starting October or some point. And it's probably going to be like recaps of this episode or going over some more information found on other episodes as well. So... if y'all have anything y'all'd like us to talk about, send us your feedback on Instagram and or Facebook, and we'll get back to you. And that's all I have for today.
That's all I got too, but please give us a like and a follow, share around with friends.
You haven't talked a lot today. You're kind of quiet there.
It's kind of filling in at the end. Thank you, Carrie, for listening.
Bitch.
Make my schedule better.
Yeah, so Carrie's actually taking over my position where we work. So.
No. See y'all next week. Remember, like, follow, share, listen.
All the fun stuff, but we will see y'all next week. Y'all have a wonderful day or night, and bye.
Bye.